of God says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, you are Lord. You reign supreme. You reign in my heart. You reign in my life. And I will proclaim your goodness and your faithfulness to me. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Have a seat. Find a seat somewhere. Amen. We're gonna have the worship team stick around for us this morning, because I'm going to have a moment, a time of prayer, an altar kind of service, if you will, at the end of this message today. Really felt like this is what the Lord spoke to me today, just now, that this is how he wants to do it. We are in the Back to the Future series. We're in the summer in the movie series, Back to the Future. And today, the title of the message is that you have the power to step into your future. I know that's a long title, but I couldn't figure a way to shorten it. The power to step into your future. So I want to talk about power this morning. So before I do that, I just felt like I need to start off with a couple funny stories. I love stories about children and the silly, crazy things children say, don't you? So I heard this. It said a Sunday school teacher said to her children, said, "We have been learning how powerful kings and queens were in the Bible times, but there is a higher power. Can anybody tell me what it is?" One child blurts out, "Aces." All right. Maybe you'll like this one better. This is actually a joke called The Power of Women. Remember, we're talking about the power to step into your future. There were 11 people hanging on a rope that came down from a helicopter, and 10 of them were men and one was a woman. They all decided that one person should get off, because if they didn't, the rope would break and everyone would die. No one could decide who should go. Finally, the woman spoke up, and she gave a really touching speech on how she would give up her life to save the others, because women were used to giving up things for their husbands and their children and so on. And at the end of the moving speech, the touching speech, all the men started clapping. The power of women. Women are powerful. Amen. Amen. All right, so let me read the scripture that I want to start with today, 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power." I'm going to read it again. "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power." In the first movie of the Back to the Future trilogy, Marty is sent back in time to the year 1955, where he meets up with Doc Brown from that time period, and he explains to him that he doesn't have enough power to get back to the future. Doc Brown discovers through the video camera that Marty brought with him, the recording that Marty brought, he discovers that the DeLorean needs 1.21 gigawatts of power to make it happen. At this, Doc Brown is overcome by the amount of power needed, and he sees no way that this level of power can be generated, which leads to one of the most memorable lines and scenes of the movie, as Doc Brown flees out of the room exclaiming, "1.21 gigawatts, 1.21 gigawatts. Come on, grab somebody and shake them and say, 1.21 gigawatts. How many of you have seen the movie? So if you've seen the movie, you know that's a memorable line. My family, we kind of live by movie quotes. We don't really talk to each other, speak to each other in normal language. We live by movie quotes, right? Come on, Dad, tell me the truth. You can't handle the truth. My kids are so sick of hearing that from me. I'm serious, Dad. And then I'll come up with another stupid movie line. It's a very powerful scene, actually, if you think about it, because in terms of what we're talking about today, I want to ask you this question. Do you realize the power that you possess? Do you realize the power that you possess? This is the dilemma that we read about with the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13. The lack of understanding or realization of the very power that was with them prevented them from stepping into their God-promised future. Because they didn't realize the power that was with them, it prevented them from stepping into what God had already promised them. Look at it with me in Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. But let me give you a little backstory. God had already promised the land to the Israelites. He already made the promise to them, I'm going to give you this land of Canaan. So he told Moses to send 12 spies or scouts into the land to explore the land and report back. In Numbers 13, 27, we read the report. It says, this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger, or you could say it this way. He was saying they are more powerful than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. This is such a powerful story, a powerful a word about the Israelites and about what they went through. God had already delivered them from so much. God had already come through on their behalf in so many ways. God had already demonstrated his power in such an amazing way and ways to them on this journey to the promised land. God had already made them a promise that he was giving them the land. Yet they could not see the promise. They could not see the future because they could not see the power that was with them. You need to hear this morning. You need to hear this. I believe this is a powerful word from the Lord that will change your life if you grab hold of it. And you have a choice to make today. You stepped into this place one way, and you can leave another way, or you can leave the same way you came. But God doesn't want you to leave this place the same way you came. He wants you to leave here with a better realization of the power that you possess. You say, well, I already know I have power, Pastor Bill. Then that's great. I'm glad you already know that, but is it being displayed in your life? Do we see the fruits of that power in your life? Do we see the fruits of that power in your family? Do we see the fruits of the power that we claim we possess in our community? So this is a powerful story, but here's something I just want to point out, kind of a side note about how powerful this is. Understand this, the 12 men that were sent in to scout out the land, they were the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. Did you hear me? These were leaders. 12 leaders, and only two of them came back and said, we can do this. 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. They're more powerful than we are. And it leads me to say this to you. If you're following a leader who does not realize and understand the power that is within them, if you're following a leader who does not pursue the promises of God and understand that the power that they possess within them can overcome any obstacle that stands in their way, if you're not following a leader who understands that the power that is within them can take them to the promised land, then you're not following the right leader. You need to be following a leader that has the resolve and determination and passion and grit and understanding and resolve to pursue the presence and promises of God no matter what. If you're not following that type of leader, run. Run as far as you can. Listen, I can show you this in the Bible, but I don't have time today, but I'm going to tell you this. You will never ascend any higher than the leader that you're following. Do you understand that? Never. I see some guys out here that I play softball with and against. I'm not going to criticize them or cut, you know, even though they beat us this week. But here's what I want to say. If you play sports, if you're an athlete, you know this. You'll never ascend higher than your coach. You'll never ascend higher. You have to understand that the leadership that you're under, the leadership you're under is so important. You have to be following leadership that can believe not only in you, but also in themselves and what God has done in their lives and placed inside of them. So this was a great dilemma for the Israelites, but it was also a powerful lesson for us, because we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and through 21, it says this: I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's what? Let me read that again. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. You see this? What's he praying for? What is Paul praying for the Ephesians church? He's not praying that they continually experience anything else but power. Power. I pray that you experience God's power, and that power comes through faith. It's kind of like we were talking about earlier with Carolyn up here and the word from the Lord. Quit waiting for strength to step into joy. Take joy, and then you'll step into strength. You step into the power that you possess through the faith that you hold on to. You got to believe in it. You got to take a step of faith into it. You know why we don't see miracles taking place across the land? Why we don't see this outpouring of God's presence? Because we're waiting for God to show up before we step in. How about you step in, and then God will show up? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Not seen. Why are you waiting to see the power of God before you step in? Why don't you step in, and then the power of God will show up? Jesus did it all the time. He gave us great examples of it. He did it all the time. People would come to him and, please do heal this person, please heal that person. Some people came to him and said, please come and heal this person. And then the person that came running after them and said, don't bother the master any longer. That person's dead. Your daughter's dead. Your son is dead. And you didn't see the power of Jesus until he stepped. He said, don't worry about that. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. Come on, y'all. Faith. Faith. He said, she's not dead. Everybody else around him was looking at the situation saying, she's dead. Clearly, she's dead. Everybody else around him was saying, you must be insane. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus said, he's not dead. And he stepped up in faith. It said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened, y'all? It came forth, didn't it? Power. So look at the rest of the scripture. Then your lives will be made an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Did you hear that? Your lives will be made an advertisement of this power as it works through you. Listen to this. If you step out in faith and trust in the power that you possess, you'll be a walking billboard of the glory and power of God Almighty. Everywhere we go, we should be a walking advertisement of his power. Every step we take, we should be advertising the power of God. It should be flowing out of us in such a great way, like a mighty rushing river, that everywhere we go, people go, man, there's something going on there. Man, there's something powerful there. Every person we walk by should be brushed by the power of God. That's what the Bible says. If we'll do this, we'll be a walking advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the highest place of honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted above every, exalted as first above every other ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the coming age. So listen to me for a moment. I'm going to break this down. You need to grab hold of this. In these three short verses, Paul uses four different Greek words to reveal the power of Christ in his prayer for the Ephesians church. In verse 19, there are three Greek words used. The first word is dunamis. Dunamis means miraculous power, strength, and might. It's actually the state of power. Dunamis is the state of power. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That's the word dunamis. You will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive the state of power when Holy Spirit comes upon you. The second word is kratos. Kratos means the ability to exhibit or express resonant strength or might. It's the action of power. So dunamis is the state of power. Kratos is the action of power. The third word is ischus. Ischus is often combined with kratos, and it means strength, power, might, force, and ability. It's coupled with kratos to describe a powerful form of action. It's physical power. So you have the state of power. You have the action of power. You have physical power. And in verse 21, we see the fourth Greek word used for power, and it's one that I've used many times, exousia. Exousia. Exousia means power in legitimate hands. Power in legitimate hands. It's the bearer of power. When you have exousia power, you're the bearer of power. It means you are authorized to use this power. Matthew 28:18 through 20 says this, "Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All authority,'" that's exousia power, "'all exousia of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my" what? Authority. Go in my authority. Go in my exousia. Go in legitimate power. He's commanding us to go in his authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And now get this, "And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." What a powerful word from Jesus. He said, "All power, all authority has been given to me. Now I'm commissioning you to go in my authority, in my power, and make disciples." I've said this many times to our church, and we're working through it, and we're trying to get better at this. We're trying to follow Holy Spirit and do this the right way, but we have become notorious for making converts but not making disciples. And I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole, the church as a whole around the world, but especially the Western church in the United States. We're really good at making converts, but we're really terrible at making disciples. I mean, we could put on some fancy programs, and we can have the great music, and we can have the fog and the lights and all the other things and all the things going. This is all this stuff happening, you know, and free coffee and all those type of things. And we can greet you really good, and we can pat you on the back as you're going out the door, and we can love on you real good. And that's great. That'll make a good convert. But you can't stop there, or you're going to have terrible disciples. Hello, is anybody awake in here this morning? We've got to become better at making disciples, because I've seen far too many people become converts and they stay there for a few years and then they're gone and you never see them again. And I think we're doing more damage to the church by making converts and not making disciples than we would be if we were just making disciples. Think about it. How many of you have heard somebody say, "Oh, I went to church, I tried that, it didn't work for me"? How many of you have heard that before? I've got friends that have told me that. You know what happened to them? They came to a church that was really good at making converts and terrible at making disciples, getting people connected to the body of Christ. God said, I've given you, Jesus said, I've given you the power, the authority to make disciples. Go and do it. We see it in this scripture here. So let me give you an example of what he's saying about these words. Let me give you an example so that you can better understand three of these four words: dunamis, kratos, and exousia. It's like possessing the engine of a Lamborghini. Having dunamis is like having a car engine of a Lamborghini Aventador LP1600-4 Masonry Carbonado GT. I don't even know what that is, but that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Basically, this car has the highest horsepower engine in the world now with 1,600 horsepower. I don't even know how powerful that is, but it sounds really powerful, doesn't it? But nobody knows about your engine power until it's put to test on the road, which is also called kratos. Simply put, kratos is the exhibition of dominion over all the other cars on the racetracks, shown by supposedly supreme speed and design on the road. Oh, this is starting to get into you a little bit. Come on, y'all. How can we show the full dunamis of this car? How can we show the full dunamis of this car? We have to practice kratos effectively first. If we're not practicing kratos, then our dunamis is meaningless. Are y'all following me? Do I need to go over the definitions of these terms of power again? Kratos is the action of power. Dunamis is the state of power, but kratos is the action of power. You can have the state of power and not have the action of power and be powerless. Oh, come on. I don't know about you, but when I was preparing for this, Holy Spirit was downloading this to me, I was getting all excited. Getting up and high-fiving Holy Spirit and punching the air. If you could just have a little insight into my preparation time for these messages, you'd probably run as fast as you could away from here. Like, he is crazy. We have to practice kratos in order to effectively show the dunamis of this car. And we do this, we practice kratos, listen, by following the manual written by the maker of the Lamborghini. This means that we need to be disciplined in meeting the scheduled maintenance and the cleaning of this car. Also, we have to be disciplined in actively replenishing the oil and gas of this car. Let me put it into spiritual context for you. We need to be disciplined in reading the Word and keeping our practices clean from corruption and filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. World to step up and recognize the power of the living God that's inside of you? Well, you have the state of power, dunamis, but you have to practice the action of power, kratos, first. If you're not taking care of the car will break down. Let me just put it to you this way. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, and don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. I'm going to move up right here. I just got to get closer to you for a moment. Are you hearing me this morning? We got too many Christians out there getting all drunk with the wrong spirit. I'm not here to debate whether drinking is a sin or not. I really don't believe that drinking an alcoholic drink is a sin. Oh, I just said it right there, and it's going out to the world just now. But listen to me before you go run out and grab a bottle of wine. Because some of you right now just say, you just shut off your listener right there. You're like, that's all I needed to hear. Headed to the liquor store. I'm serious. I'm careful about saying that because some people just shut you right off. And they're like, man, pastor said we could drink all we wanted. Party at my house tonight. my personal opinion and studying the word, I don't believe that's like a sin is going to send you to hell. But here's what I believe. I believe that the word is clear. And if you are so focused, if you're so focused on whether I can drink or not, then you're looking at the wrong things. Your heart's in the wrong place already. If you're on Facebook arguing with people about that, you're in the wrong place already. I don't even need to talk to you whether drinking's a sin or not. I just need to talk to you about why are you so focused on that particular thing? Why is your eyes so focused on that? Why is your heart so focused on that? Why is your heart not focused on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Some of you have never been drunk on Holy Spirit, but you've been plenty drunk on wine. I'm feeling fired up today. I love you and I want you to keep coming, but I'm going to preach the truth. You hear Kim back there, right? I will, baby. Seriously. Let me read this one. Let me read this one. Because some of you are like, I don't have a problem with drinking. I don't drink anyway. I don't even know. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Run from sexual sin. Say it again. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of what? The Holy Spirit. Again, well, is it a sin, and where's the line, and how far is too far, and you know what? The Bible's clear. Just run from it. Quit debating it and run from it. And we've all been through this. We all did it, all right? We're teenagers and we're dating and everything. Well, how far is too far, and what's the line, and what is actually a sexual sin? Why are you so concerned with that? Why don't you be concerned with the Holy Spirit? This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the word of God said, run as far away as you can from that sin. But we want to dance that line as close as we can to it, because we just want to feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so that you must honor God with your body. Listen, y'all, if you're living in sexual sin, if you're struggling with that right now, I just want to tell you, I love you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just reading the word of God, because I want you to flee the very appearance of evil. I want you to be all that God created you to be. I want the dunamis power to live and come alive, and kratos power inside of you, so that you can display the exousia of power that God gave you the authority to display. You're praying for things to happen in your life, and you're wanting God to work through you and use you, but you're dabbling in the things that he said run from. 1 John 3:6 says, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Let me read it to you in the Passion Translation. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. So if you continue to struggle with the same sin over and over again, I'm not talking about making a mistake. I'm not talking about that type of thing. But let's just say this, you got an anger problem and you continue to struggle with rage. You continue to struggle with saying hurtful things to people, and you do it. Do you understand that's a sin? How many of you know that's a sin? You can't just crush somebody with your words and walk away from it. It's sin. You can't just murder somebody with your words and walk away. It's sin. And if that's what you continue to struggle with, and you keep doing it over and over again, this is what this scripture is talking about. The one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. In other words, God's saying, Bill, the reason you keep doing this is because you don't really know me. I don't know about you, but I've had Holy Spirit say this to me multiple times. Multiple times. He still says it to me. Oh, you mean you commit sin? Yeah, I do. I don't want to. And I'm working through it. And I'm in the process. Who's in the process today? Who's in the process? I'm in the process. But if we're going to experience this dunamis power and this and display the exousia power, then we have to live in the kratos power, in the action of power. That means step up and say, no, I'm turning away from that. No, devil. No, Satan. I'm not going to listen to you again. For greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. God has given me the power and authority to step up and walk away from this. God has given me the authority to put my hand in your face and defeat you, Satan. You can possess, listen to this, you can possess the dunamis of this car, but your lack of kratos is reckless and will lead to destruction. Come on, y'all. We're talking about cars here. You know as well as I do, if you or me get in a 1,600 horsepower Lamborghini Aventador, whatever it's called, without test driving it somewhere, we get out on the road with it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to wreck that thing. I'm just telling you right now. I haven't read the manual. I have no experience. Hosea, one last thing on this, and then I'm going to get to the end of this. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. You've got to know him. You've got to know his word. If you know him and you know his word, then you can operate in the authority and the power that he has placed inside of you. Don't you think it's awesome and amazing that God gave it to us before we knew how to use it? Yes. Come on, can I get somebody an amen? Isn't that awesome? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful he didn't say, come on, Jim, you need to earn this. You got to toe the line. Once you earn it, I'll give you the power. No, he's already given you the power. He gave it to you. Joanne, he said, here it is, it's yours. The moment you received him into your life, the moment you surrendered your life to him, he said, I'm coming into you and I'm coming in with my full power. That's amazing to me. What trust, what love, right? You know what he's saying to you? When he does that, you know what he's saying to me? What I get from this, he's saying, Bill, I love you that much. I created you and you're amazing. I believe in you. I trust you. I created you in my image. You look just like me. So here you go. Have it all. Your full inheritance. Finally, exousia is when the maker of Lamborghini makes you their car racer. You bear the authority to use and take care of the car. This means that everywhere you go, you carry the name of Lamborghini with you, and your victory means Lamborghini's victory. That's what exousia power is. He came in with every bit of it. Dunamis, kratos, ishkus, exousia. He came in with every bit of it. Every bit of that power he put at your hands for you to possess. And he said, Kevin, I'm making you my bearer of power. You're my bearer of power, Jesus said to you when you accepted him in. I'm giving you all authority to walk in my authority, to walk in my power, to walk in my spirit, to do everything that I've done and even greater things that you've seen me do. That's powerful. So the Israelites failed to step into their God-given future because they failed to recognize the very power that was with them. Numbers 14, verses 11 through 9 through 11, we see Joshua and Caleb pleading with the people. The only two that believed in the power that was with them. The only two that said, we can go into this land, it's ours. Greater is he that's with us than he that's in the world. And this is what they said to them. They said, do not rebel against the Lord. In other words, you know what they're saying? Obey his word. Do not rebel against the Lord. Obey his word. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. In other words, they're saying, recognize the power that you possess. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. I just got to stop right there for a second. I got to stop right there because I see this in the church today. I see this when leaders in the church today step up and challenge the people of God to step into their God-given power so that they can step into their God-given future. And I see the church around them reaching down and grabbing stones to raise up and stone them for talking about such things. Why is the church biting and devouring one another when they're speaking the truth of God's word? I'll tell you why. Because when you step up and speak the truth of God's word in love, I don't care how loving you are with it, sometimes people are going to feel that conviction of Holy Spirit, and instead of responding to that conviction and turning to the Lord, they're going to respond by reaching down and grabbing a stone to kill you with it. The Pharisees did it. The Pharisees did it, right? What do you think they did to Stephen? Why do you think they stoned Stephen? They stoned Stephen because Stephen was full of the power of Almighty God. He had the dunamis, the kratos, the exousia power flowing out of him, and they couldn't stand it. So they reached down and grabbed stones. Full and possessed with the enemy they wanted to destroy. Why? Ask yourself that question. Do you ever ask yourself why? Do you know why? Because the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows about this power of God that's in you. He just hopes that you don't realize this power. He hopes that you don't get full understanding of this power. Because if you get a hold of this, if you get the knowledge of the power of God that's living inside of you, you are unstoppable. Do you realize that? If you realize that, raise your hand. Come on, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable. And I don't just mean just going out there and loving people. That's what we should lead with. Love people. Love, that's our vision statement. Love God, love people, change your world. But I'm talking about, what about the power? What about the power to lay hands on the sick and watch them get up and recover? What about the power to lay hands on those who are lame and watch them get out of their wheelchairs and walk away from them? What about the power for those who have cancer in their body? Cancer, a horrible disease from the enemy that is ravaging our people in this world today. What about the power to speak to that cancer and command it to leave that body, and it has to leave, physically leave the body? What about the power to be walking down the street and that girl who's been in prostitution for years because her father abused her and she didn't see any other way? What about the power to walk by her and in the power of Jesus to say to her, you don't have to stay in chains. You can be free. Jesus loves you. And watch her fall to her knees and give her heart and life to Jesus and turn her whole life around. That's what he called us to. He didn't call us to play a game. He didn't call us to come play church. He didn't call us to gather together every Sunday to sing a few songs, clap our hands, pat each other on the back, and make each other feel good. He called us to display his full power. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. You don't have to worry about the enemy. You hear me? You don't have to worry about the enemy. I promise you, if you're the bearer of his power and you display it in the ways that I'm talking to you today, I promise you, if the enemy rises up to stone and destroy you, I promise you, your daddy will rise up. He will rise up in glory and power. Remember Stephen when he was being stoned. Remember what happened. All he could see was Jesus. He lifted up his eyes and he saw his Savior. Do you know who was standing back watching that day? Holding the coats of the Pharisees as they stoned Stephen? The very writer of this passage, this scripture in Ephesians. Paul, Saul, who became Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament inspired by the Holy Spirit, standing back that day holding the coats of the Pharisees as they stoned the man of God, displaying the full power of his God. I'm saying this to you because you never know who's watching you. You never know who's paying attention. It could be the very next Paul. So the Lord stood up. The Lord rose up. His glorious presence appeared before all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt?" And listen to this next question. "Will they never believe me? Even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them?" So my question to you is this: what's it going to take for you to believe in the power that has been given to you? What's it going to take? I believe God's saying that to his church today. I believe God is speaking verse 11 right here of Numbers 14:11 to the church today. I believe he's saying it to us. "Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? Will they never believe me? All power, all authority, dunamis, kratos, exousia, has been given to you." Given to you. What's it going to take for you to believe in it? What's it going to take for you to step into it? What's it going to take for you to rise up and push away everything that people are saying around you and what the world is saying? What's it going to take for you to get up in the morning and get into the Word of God? What's it going to take for you to spend time in intimate presence of Jesus? What's it going to take for you to read the Word and believe it? What's it going to take for you to walk by faith and not by sight?